Welcome to New Life Church, and a special welcome if you're joining us for the first time. If you're visiting or joining us, that'll be great. But we'd love you to join us for a cup of tea or coffee after the service. And on that note, if you have parked in the church property, you might be concerned that you may not be able to get out if everyone else has come for a cup of coffee or tea. But just let the guys at the back know, and they'll help you get your car out. They know who's parked where. And I do thank you for really coming together in terms of parking inside the church property as far as possible. That's a great help to the community. And just another thing to thank those men who made the effort to come out during the month of June to morning prayers on Friday mornings. It was a lovely time together, and that time of praying together has now come to an end. But of course, we continue to pray in different ways. But thank you for making the effort. It's well worth making the effort to come together in prayer. And then this Tuesday, life groups are going to be gathering in this place. So not in homes, but we're going to have our combined gathering this Tuesday at 7:30. So do come along. It's always a lovely time when we gather together as all of the different life groups and we experience fellowship together. So that's 7:30 this Tuesday. Now, what would you do if you knew for sure that you had 24 hours left to live? Would you spend time with loved ones, perhaps saying everything that needs to be said and making right the things that you know need to be made right? Would you perhaps eat a special meal or go to a place that you've always wanted to travel to? I know that some here would probably go and surf a wave that they haven't got to in their life just yet. Perhaps you would spend all your money as quickly as you could, or perhaps you would give it away. It's an interesting question to ask, morbid in some ways, but interesting in the sense that it has the potential to inspire us to make the most of every day. Although most of us will never know when our final 24 hours of earthly life have begun, there was a man who knew exactly when and how his earthly life would end. And I'm sure even as you or I would do, if we knew that our life was soon to end, he spent a significant amount of time in prayer to his heavenly Father. If you haven't already guessed it, the man of whom I speak is Jesus Christ. And part of his prayer was that those who would follow him in the years, centuries, and millennia that would follow would stand together in gospel unity. This gospel-centered unity is a central theme of Paul's letter to the Romans. The church in Rome was a divided church, and understandably so, because the Jewish and Gentile cultural and religious practices of the day had collided in the church of Rome as the gospel had drawn them together. Initially, the Christian church in Rome had been established and led by Jewish followers of Christ. And yet, a time had come in the early days of the church when all Jews had been expelled from Rome, leaving the church in the hands of the Gentile converts. On their return several years later, the Jewish followers of Christ found that the cultural environment of the church in Rome had changed rather dramatically. It is in this context that Paul exhorts both Gentile and Jewish believers to ensure that cultural or stylistic approaches do not overshadow the essence of the gospel. In any and every true church, Christ is to be central. Therefore, welcome or accept one another, as Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 15, verse 7, as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be considering Romans chapter 15, the first 13 verses of that chapter. And this is found toward the end of the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. Our focus this week is going to be the God of endurance and encouragement, which is drawn from verse 5. And next week, our focus will be living in faith, hope, and love. Before we get into it this morning, let's take a moment to pray once again. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this extraordinary gift to us that tells us so much about you and everything that we need to know. God, as we consider this portion of Scripture, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to hear from you. May the words of my mouth this morning and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you weary this morning? Having spoken to a number of people this morning, in this past week, in this past month, I sense that many of us are weary. Not merely physically worn out, but weary within our souls. Are you weary this morning? And are you discouraged in any way? If you are weary or discouraged or both, as per Romans chapter 15, verse 5, I have good news for you today. Our Almighty God is the God of endurance and encouragement. Our Almighty God is the God of endurance and encouragement. Endurance is the ability to keep going despite a trial or unpleasant experience or set of circumstances. To endure is to navigate the storms of life with patience, certainty, and tenacity, to steadfastly press on without falling apart and without surrendering to setbacks. Now, of course, we know that our God is perfectly durable, if we might put it that way. But when Paul refers to the God of endurance, he means that God is the very source of endurance. In other words, endurance flows from him to all who would find their strength in him. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah put it like this in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are you weary this morning? If you are, the invitation is open to you. And not from me, but from the Lord. Come and find strength in the God of endurance. Some this morning might well know the strength of the Lord, and yet you feel burdened, like a strong athlete trying to run a race with a load of bricks on their back. You feel weighed down and held back from properly running the race that has been set before you. Well, if that is you, what are the bricks that you are carrying? What kind of things might weigh us down as we endeavor to endure in the faith? And firstly, we might feel weighed down by anxiety and worry. And understandably so in this day and age of turmoil and uncertainty. A few weeks ago, you might remember, I hope you do, Nigel Yates reminded us of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus encourages us not to worry about the things of this earth because God cares about us. And Peter writes something similar in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Friends, what a privilege it is to lay our anxieties at the foot of the cross, to surrender the burden of worry to the God of endurance. If you're laden with anxiety and worry, will you lay your burdens at the foot of the cross this morning? And will you do so every morning in the coming days, knowing that he cares for each one of us more than you and I can fathom? Hebrews chapter 12 helps us see that entanglement with sin also holds us back. Using the imagery of a race in a grand stadium, the writer of Hebrews says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, within our own strength, it's impossible to endure because the weight of sin is beyond that which we can bear. But we do not find strength within ourselves. Our strength comes from the God of endurance. And so we fix our eyes on the one who endured the cross on our behalf. And as we do, we find that we are able to run the race set before us with endurance as we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Thinking about the finished work of the cross and all that Christ endured on our behalf is surely a great source of courage that helps us to not grow weary or faint-hearted, as we read in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12. Whatever might be weighing you and I down this morning, let's not carry such weight out of this morning's church gathering. Instead, let's hear the words of Christ afresh, who, as we read in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Our God is the God of endurance, and our God is the God of encouragement. Encouragement, in the sense of Romans chapter 15, relates to comfort and the peace that surpasses understanding. It fills us with courage for the road ahead. Are you in particular need of this kind of encouragement this morning? A few days ago, some of our younger members of the congregation participated in the inter-schools athletic championships. And while each race of the day saw a jubilant winner, there were also those who were in need of a little encouragement after the race. Some had lost a shoe along the way, and so had been slowed down. Others had tripped and fallen, and others just really didn't feel that they did as well as they'd hoped to have done, and so there were many tears. Sometimes, for far more serious reasons than these, we too are in need of a little encouragement as we journey through this life. The Bible speaks of three special ways that God encourages us. Firstly, through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Secondly, through the Scriptures. And thirdly, through Christian community. Firstly, we are encouraged by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, who, according to the Bible, is our helper and comforter. We looked at this verse a few weeks ago, which is found in John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17, which Jesus spoke to those who were following him before he ascended. And it says this: "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." We've already sung about that this morning. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Those who are in Christ Jesus have the Holy Spirit, who fills our hearts with a supernatural kind of peace and encouragement as we face the trials of this life. The Holy Spirit also inspired and preserved the scriptures for our benefit and helps us to understand them as we read and study our Bibles. And how grateful we are for the true source of encouragement that the scriptures are to us. To the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Paul writes, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." And friends, one of the things we need to do if we're feeling discouraged in this life is turn to the Word of God. And sometimes we need to endure through all that we're reading, but we need to know that the scriptures are a major, an incredible source of encouragement in our lives. To the church in Thessalonica, Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, "So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter." Now, in the context of celebrating God's word, Paul continues with the following in verses 16 and 17. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word." Surely there's no greater source of encouragement to our hearts than the grace of God has spoken to us through his word. So God encourages us through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, through his word, and thirdly, God encourages us through Christian community. In other words, through the church. After all, we well know that it is good and pleasant to dwell in unity, as Psalm 133 celebrates. Now, Paul hadn't planted the church in Rome, and at the time of writing, he had yet to even visit the Romans. Nonetheless, he had a deep sense of love for them in his heart, founded on Christ-centered unity of their shared faith. This is reflected in Romans chapter 1, verse 11 to 12, when he says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." What a marvelous concept verse 12 presents to us, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Are we mutually encouraged by each other's faith here at New Life Church? Life groups, by the way, are specifically designed for this purpose. So do join a life group if you're not yet a part of a life group. But life groups are one of many opportunities for us to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith as we live in harmony with each other. The Romans chapter 15 helps us to see that one of the ways that we respond to the God of endurance and encouragement is by living in harmony with our fellow Christians. And doing so points to Christ Jesus, who is the head of the church, and brings glory to the Father. Romans chapter 15, verse 5 and 6 say just this: "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with each other, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." What a joy it is on Sunday mornings when we glorify God together as we sing with one voice. But the unity that is expressed as we gather on Sundays and join together in song needs to echo into the rest of the week. Within our hearts, as verse 7 helps us to see, we need to accept one another just as Christ has accepted us. As per the ESV version, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. We all have our quirks and idiosyncrasies and imperfections, but just as Christ has poured out his grace upon our lives and welcomed us into fellowship with him, we too need to look for opportunities to extend grace to our fellow Christians. We who are strong, as we read in Romans chapter 15, verse 1, have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Following Christ's example, we are to look for opportunities to use our strength that God has given us to help and not hurt those who are in need. Are we a people who use our various strengths to serve one another, to help those in need? And Paul says that in Christ, we have an obligation to do so. By way of a simple example, if we are strong, would we be willing to face the cold and wet weather of a dreary day on behalf of someone else who might benefit from using our coat? And far more generously than we could ever mirror, Christ the strong was beaten and crucified for the weak, you and I. And as far as we are able, we are called to follow his example. In the words of verses 2 and 3, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Now in verse 2 says, let each of us please his neighbor, and when verse 7 says, welcome or accept one another, does the Bible mean that we are to be people pleasers, doing whatever people ask us to do in the way that they think they should be done? And are we to welcome any kind of behavior, even if it is simple, sinful? And are we to accept every interpretation of Scripture, even if it is doctrinally skewed or blatantly false? Of course not. Of course we're not to do any of those things. That's not what it means to accept one another. And this is why Paul specifically writes, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Friends, pleasing our neighbors in a way that doesn't please or glorify God isn't good for anyone, and it certainly doesn't build up the church. Accepting one another does not equate to accepting sinful lifestyles or false doctrines. In response to the churches of our day that have attempted to become contemporarily inclusive at the expense of biblical truth, Shane Peart, who is a Christian author and pastor, says this: the goal of the gospel is not to affirm you, celebrate you, and accept you. The goal of the gospel is to rescue you, transform you, and redirect you. The goal of the gospel is not to affirm you, celebrate you, and accept you. The goal of the gospel is to rescue you, transform you, and redirect you. Friends, Christ's acceptance of us was costly indeed. If we miss that point, we cheapen the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for us to set us free from sin. He didn't pay the price so that we might liberally celebrate a sinful lifestyle in the name of Christian acceptance. Truly building one another up and authentically accepting each other can only be done on the foundation of biblical truth. This point is developed in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul encourages the Ephesians to put away falsehood and speak the truth. Verse 29 of the chapter that's building on all that Paul has said throughout chapter 4 says this: "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ includes dealing with the awfulness of sin. If we try to circumvent the awfulness of sin, we miss the purpose and fullness of the grace of Christ. Let all we say give grace to those who hear. Are we determined to build each other up through mutual encouragement? Offering courage to someone sometimes means that we need to correct something of their lifestyle, and that's done in love. When it's done in love, it is pleasing and glorifying to our God. I hope that we are a people who always look to build each other up in the truth of the Scriptures. Ephesians 4, verse 32 calls us to be kind to one another, and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. But let's also remember that authentic Christian unity and genuine encouragement can never be found at the expense of biblical truth and sound doctrine. In closing, God is the God of endurance and encouragement. He is the source of our strength, and in Him we are able to endure even through the wildest storms of this life. And He encourages us through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, through His Word, and through authentic Christian community. As we sing our closing song, keep in mind that whatever you face in this life, whatever you're facing today, whatever you will face in the coming week, the God of endurance and encouragement will hold you fast. Just before the worship team comes up and we do sing that song, "He Will Hold Me Fast," let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of who You are. We know that You are beyond measure, and yet by Your grace, You have revealed Yourself to us through Your Word. And we're so very grateful for that. We ask that as we continue to study Your Scripture, that You would continue to transform our hearts. Help us to become the people that You have called us to be. O God of endurance, I pray that You would truly strengthen those in need of Your refreshing touch this morning. You know what each of us are going through. You know those in this room who have aching hearts this morning for one reason or another. You know those who are feeling faint and weary at this point of their faith journey. And I pray that You would help them endure, that they would turn to You as their strength. Within ourselves, we do not have the strength to face the trials of this life, but in You, we're able to face any storm that comes our way. Remind our hearts of that truth this morning, I pray. O God of encouragement, we thank You for the many ways that You encourage us through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, through Your Word, and through Your church. I pray that as the people of New Life Church, we would be open to the Holy Spirit, that we would be receptive and devoted to reading Your Word, and that we would be welcoming of each other, not superficially or in falsehood, but in a spirit of authentic Christ-centered unity. We pray this all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.